Okay, today's daf is daf Nun Ches, and we're going to begin on Nun Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbonim, Gimel Devarim Nemar B'Istama. The last Gemara we learned yesterday was about this Istama, which is like a piece of cloth that's used to keep the extra strands of hair a woman has covered. So the Gemara says the Brice teaches us three halachas regarding this Istama. First halacha is Ein B'Mishum Kloim. There's no Din HaShatnas on it. That means even if it's made out of woolen linen, which normally we know that woolen linen are shatness, here there's no problem with shatness. Why is there no problem with shatness? So Rashi says, because it's not woven. It's like a piece of felt. And since like it's a piece of felt, there's no problem with shatness. Tosfos goes into an arichas here, goes in the whole explanation. And Tosfos says, the fact that something is not woven, true, may preclude it from being shatness midoraisa, but it would still be shatness midrabonim. Why is the Gemara saying there's no? It's not shatness at all? So Taisha says, since it's hard and it doesn't give off any warmth, so you have here, number one, that it's not woven, plus the fact that it's a hard piece of material that doesn't really do anything like a piece of clothing, so that's why there's no shatness midrabonim. Other Rishonim say it's because it's a very small piece. Again, combining the fact that it's small and not woven, it's a piece of felt, and it's also not there for warmth. The Rishonim take all of these considerations together, and that's why there's no issue of klein. Next halacha, ve'en metame b'negoyim. There's no issue of tum on it. Why? So there's two approaches in the Rishonim to this. One approach in the Rishonim is because we compare negoyim to klein. The Torah uses the word beged by negoyim. The Torah uses the word beged by shatness. So whatever is the halacha by shatness, the same halacha is by tumah. So we just said there's no problem with shatness, there also is no problem of tumah. Other Rishonim say, very interestingly, that the only problem there's a problem of tumah tahara is on white pieces of material. This wasn't white, it was colored, so there's no problem of tumah tahara on colored begadim. And, as we're learning what's also, then you're talking about Rosh Rabbim. You know, a woman may not wear it when she goes out to Rosh Rabbim. Rishimun Amru, Af Ein Bei Mishum Ataras Kalas. Let's describe this. The Gemara Masechta Saita Daf Mem Tes Omer Aleph says that because of Zeich L'Churban, a Zeich to what happened the Churban, the halacha is that they made a rule that Kalas are not allowed to wear Ataras, not allowed to wear a crown. So the halacha is that this is not considered an ataras kala, and a kala is allowed to wear it. Why? Because it's primarily a piece of material, just with studs on it, and that's not what ataras kalas means. It's interesting to note, it's a Tosfos Tamar, but we'll mention it now, that in that Mishnah, in Masechta Saita, Daf Mem Tes, it also says that they made a gzeira zeich l'churbin, that you're not allowed to wear an ear shel zohav. That you're not allowed to wear, they had a piece of jewelry that it looked like the skyline of a city, and because it was a beautiful piece, we'll talk about it a lot more tomorrow, so you're not allowed to wear it. The question is, yesterday we learned in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Right. So what does that seem to say? That during the week you're allowed to. But we just said that the Gemara says that you're never allowed to wear it. So Tosfos says a very interesting teretz. He says that that gzeir that you're not allowed to wear it was only for kalas. Kalas, when she's by a chasna, that's not the time. Zeich l'churban, don't wear it. However, our Mishnah is talking about every other woman. The Rishash says a very interesting teretz. The Gemara in Saita that says they're not allowed to wear that city means to wear a skyline of a city with such a ostentatious piece of jewelry after the Churban, you're not allowed to. But what about the skyline of Yerushalayim? That he says you're allowed to wear. Because if you're going to wear the skyline of Yerushalayim that shows Emeshkechech Yerushalayim, Tishkach Yemini, I'm remembering Yerushalayim. That you're allowed to wear. The Ir Shel Zov in our Mishnah, you know what it's a skyline of? It's a skyline of Yerushalayim. However, the Paiskim say, people, I've seen this, so I want to make this point. People say, so that means the skyline of Yerushalayim would be alright. So the halach is, you're supposed to leave in your house a place that's not painted. So what's going to be, if you're going to take that place, instead of just leaving it open, you'll put up a wall of Yerushalayim. That the halacha doesn't allow you to do. You have to leave it unpainted. We can't redefine what the halacha says. Yesterday we learned, the last Gemara we learned yesterday, that when it said in the Mishnah Kavul, we had a question, what does Kavul mean? Does Kavul mean this cap that the women wore, or is it Kavul the Avda, the emblem that servants wore? Shmuel Omer, Kavul the Avda Tanan. When our Mishnah says kavul, it means kavul da'avda, the emblems, the avodan war. Ask the Gemara, mi yom Shmuel hachi, the Shmuel taka, paskin that way. From Shmuel says, yoytza eved b'choysim shibitzavorei. An eved may go out on Shabbos wearing this emblem, and as we'll see, primarily they were made out of clay, if it's around its neck. Avloi b'choysim shibitzusoi. Not the one that he has sewn onto his garment. So here we say that Shmuel says that you're allowed to wear the one around the neck. And our Mishnah says you're not allowed to wear it. So Taisa says, the Gemara could have said a very simple teretz, that our Mishnah is only talking about the one that's worn on the beged, not the one around the neck. And that would have been a great teretz. But Taisa says the Gemara doesn't want to say that teretz, because our Mishnah says kavul, and doesn't start making differences around the neck or on the begadim. So the Gemara says a different teretz, loy kasha. Hada avad lei rabbi, the one that's made by his owner, so he's scared to take it off. If his boss said he has to wear it, he's scared to remove it. That's why he's allowed to walk out. The one he makes himself, so he really isn't forced to wear it. So we're concerned he may take it off. Ask the Gemara. So how did we explain Shmuel? David le Rabbi, that it's talking that his boss told him he must wear it. Ask the Gemara if his boss told him he must wear it, and therefore he's scared to remove it. So So why is he not allowed to go out with the one that he has on his garment? Answers the Gemara. And Dilma Mifsik, since there's a concern that this will fall and break, because it's made out of clay, or Mirsis, but now he's scared to walk around with his suit without this emblem on it. So what's he going to do with Mikvale? He'll just fold his jacket and hold it over his shoulder. Or Machsle Kasve, just walk out with his jacket folded over his shoulder. And Aloch is Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Domer Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hayoyt v'talos m'kupeles u'menachs lo k'sefos. This Aloch l'mayis. So somebody takes something and he just holds it over his shoulder, and he walks like that out on Shabbos, Chayiv Chatas. So that's why we're more concerned one on the beged than the one around his neck. And let's explain. The one around his neck can also fall, but if it falls and breaks, everybody understands he just can't pick it up and carry it. Everybody knows that that's usur. But the one that's on the beged, if it falls, what's he going to do? He's just going to carry that beged, that jacket over his shoulders, not realizing that it's a chiyuv chatas. Says the Gemara, we have the same concept. The Talmidim that learned in the Resh Galusa's yeshiva used to also wear an emblem. Why? So this is what we're going to learn in the Gemara. Because they wanted to show that they were subservient to the Resh Galusa. So he made them wear such an emblem. So he told them, may not walk out on Shabbos with this emblem. Why? For the same reason we just said. Because it may fall and break. Then this guy is going to be scared to walk with a suit without the emblem on, and he'll just put it over his shoulder. Besides you, Rav Chinen B'Shinuch, the Resh Galusa won't be upset even if you'll be caught without wearing the emblem, because he knows you're very loyal to him. So that's why you can wear it, and we're not worried that if it breaks, you're going to carry your jacket the wrong way. Just let's talk halacha l'maisa. Here we say halacha, that you're not allowed to wear something on your jacket, an emblem. So the question is, what's the halacha, you know, people who wear medals or other such items on their jackets? If we learn our Gemara, you shouldn't be allowed to wear it. And Taka the Minchas Yitzchak Paskins that way, that you're not allowed to wear it. The Shmir Shavs Kuchasa is Mekel. Why? He says a very nice pshat. He says, somebody wearing an emblem that he's a servant is not something that anybody's anxious to do. So a person's going to look for reasons not to do it, and if it falls or breaks, whatever. But a person who's wearing a medal on his jacket, nobody forces me to walk out wearing a medal or emblem. I'm proud of that, and I wear it because I want to. So there, it's not the same as an eved, and he says it would be mutter. Also, what we see in this Gemara is wearing something around the neck is not so simple that you're allowed to. Now, a lot of people wear necklaces. They wear such things around the neck, either it's like for identification, or they wear it because, you know, they want to have a medical history. So, of course, if it's a shayla pikuach nefesh, everything is mutter. But the question is, who says you're allowed to walk out of your house? In other words, you taka have to wear this necklace all the time. You have to wear this necklace all the time because you have a medical condition. But who says you should be allowed to walk out? The Paiskim say a person wearing that kind of a necklace should be careful and think about it. Gufa. Amishmul, you're allowed to walk out with this thing around your neck. Avaloi b'chosim shepsusa, not the one attached to your jacket. Tanya namehochin, that's what it says in a brisa. Yoytzo ever b'chosim shepetzavaroi, he's allowed to go with the one around his neck. Avaloi b'chosim shepsusa, not the one on his jacket. Verminu asked the Gemara a question from a brisa. What's going to happen to the Gemara? Let's just tell you what's going to happen here. The Gemara is quoting a brisa. As soon as we learn the first line of the brisa, we're going to have a kasha. And we'll get to try to give an answer. The Gemara is going to give an answer to the kasha. The Gemara quotes the rest of the brisa, and then the Gemara, after finishes answering the question that we just will have, will now start explaining that brisa. So what does it say in the brisa? Layeta Eved, here it says in the brisa, a servant may not go out on Shabbos, b'chosin shebetzavaroi, whether it's a chosin around his neck, v'loi v'chosin shebeksusai, not one attached to his jacket. So right away we have a kasha. Before it says around the neck is permitted, on the jacket is prohibited, and here it says everything is asur. So we'll get back to that. Now we go further. He's not allowed to wear a bell around his neck. He's allowed to wear bells attached to his garments. As I said, we'll explain everything. Both types of bell, whether it's a bell around his neck or whether it's a bell attached to his jacket, are considered kalim, and as we've learned many times in this Masechta, a keli is susceptible to tumah. Continues the brisa, v'leitetze behema, an animal may now walk out, loy b'chosin shebetzavaroi, not with an emblem around its neck, loy b'chosin shekzusa, not an emblem sewn onto a blanket that it's wearing or a jacket that it's wearing, v'loy b'zug shebetzusai, not with a bell around its on its garment, not with a bell around its neck. Why? So Rashi explains, because if you take out an animal wearing these things, it's mechsi command the ozel l'chigna. Like we learned last week, it looks like you're taking it to the market to shecht or to sell, which is also on Shabbos. However, continues the Braisa, v'zeh, both types of bell that an animal wears, whether it's on its but whether it's around its neck or whether it's on its blanket, they're not susceptible to tumah. Why? Before we go into the Gemara further, just let's say it. A bell that a person wears is considered like a tachshit. It's considered like a piece of jewelry. And jewelry, we're learning a kalim, so the makabel tumah. An animal doesn't wear jewelry. So that's why the bell is not considered a tachshit, and that's why it's not makabel tumah. But now let's go back to our question. Here we have a stira. Shmuel says around the neck is permitted, on the beged is prohibited. The Braisa says they both are asur. How do we deal with it? Answers the Gemara. Lema, let's give the same terrors as we started the shiur with. Ha, the Ovid Le Rabbi. You know when it's, if the boss made him wear it, so around the neck is permitted, on the beged is prohibited. Ha, the Ovid Ilanashe, when he made it himself. Both are us. Why are both us? Very simple. Because since he doesn't have this pressure to wear it, he may decide, you know what, I don't want to be seen as an Eved, and I'll take it off. And that's why it doesn't make a difference if it's on the neck or on the beged. Says the Gemara, no, I don't have to say that, Teretz. Like, Edivi Edi David Le Rabbi. Both Bryces are talking that the boss made it and told him he has to wear it. Just what's the difference? Kambishal Matris. The one that's, one is made out of metal. So since it's made out of metal, so even when it's broken, it has a value. So we're concerned if it falls and it breaks, he'll pick it up because he doesn't want to let that go to waste. Kambishel, tit, the one made out of clay doesn't really have any value. So if it breaks, what's he going to bring it home? What's he going to do with the pieces of clay? Could have nachn amar of avua that said, dova hamakbrol of rabbi, that if the material that it's made out of is something that the boss is makbid, is serious about because it has value, and you're not allowed to wear it because if it breaks, he'll pick it up and carry it home. Dovish a makbid alov, but if it's something that doesn't have value, there aloch is yotzimba, you're allowed to wear it. Why not? Because if it breaks, he'll leave it there. Only when it's on the jacket, that's where I'm concerned that he'll carry the jacket home. Hachanam mistabra, that it's talking about, that the second brisa is talking about a metal piece, because the brisa, as we learned, the second part of the brisa started talking about Kabbalah's tumah. If it's susceptible to tumah, mivtani zevaza emekam tumah. Now, I am the shlomo shomatches. They were talking about things made out of metal. So the Brisa makes a lot of sense. We say, Hanihu de lo mekabel tuma. These things, even though they're made out of metal, are not susceptible to tuma. Hakel nedu, but other things made out of metal are mekabel tuma. So I understand the Brisa wanting to tell me that even though normally it's not mekabel tuma, this will be mekabel tuma. Eli am b'shal tanan. If you're going to tell me that this Brisa, the second Brisa, is talking about things made out of clay, so I don't understand. Hani hu adulam makabel tuma? Is it dafka? Is it specifically these things that are not susceptible to tuma? Hakel nedu makabel tuma? But if it would be fashioned into a full-fledged utensil, it would be susceptible to tuma. The tanya we know in a Brisa, the clay of onim, utensils made out of stone. Kli glolim, stencils made out of dung. Kli adamim made out of clay. Eim akam tuma, are not susceptible to tuma. Loim adivir tar, not mid araisa. The loim adivir sefer, not mid rabbanon. Al shmami no. El shmami no. Shematchis. That this price is talking about metal. The previous price was talking about clay. Shmami no. And our question is answered. So now, as I said, the Gemara is continuing to explain this price. So what did it say in the Brisa? V'loy b'zog b'shet tzavaroi. He's allowed to walk with the bell on his neck. Avayot b'zog shvaksusoi. He's allowed to wear a bell on his garments. Ask the Gemara, zog shvet tzavaroi mayloi. Why is he allowed to wear a bell around his neck? Dilma mifsa, because the bell may get disconnected. V'osla suye, and he may carry it. Ask the Gemara if that's the concern. By the bell on the garment, why aren't we concerned that it may get disconnected? Answers the Gemara, that it was sewn on by a professional tailor that sews it on well, and we don't have to worry that's going to fall off. Everything that's sewn on, woven on like gozer. So Tosfos asked the obvious question. If we're talking here that it was sewn on well, so before we said that he's not allowed to walk out with chayson shibeksusai, with the emblem on his beged. Why? So we're concerned it's going to fall off and it'll carry. But if we're saying that it's something that's sewn on well doesn't fall off, so why am I worried that it's going to fall off? So Tysus answers like this. He says, all of their jackets, the style was, all had bells on them. That's the way their jackets were. And therefore, we know that it was always sewn on well. However, that an eved should walk out with an emblem sewn to a jacket, that's not that common. So something that's always done right, we don't make gzeiros. Something that happens infrequently, that's where Chazal made a gzeiros, don't walk out. The second Tosfos, Kedrafuna, says a very interesting thing. Yesterday we had the exact same language, where was that used for yesterday? That the Gemara said that anything that's woven, it can't be tight on the hair and will not be chatzitza. Today we're saying kol shuloi arug legozru means that anything that's woven doesn't fall off. So what does it mean? So Tosfos says it means both. Rav Huna made a statement, kol shuloi arug legozru, and it has two meanings. It has a meaning as far as hilchas chatzitza is concerned, and it has a meaning as far as hilchas chatzah is concerned. Very interesting. Continues the Gemara. Amamar. So we continue analyzing the Braisa. The Braisa said, "Lateitza behema lo bechaisim shetzavaroi, an animal may now walk out with this emblem around its neck. Lo bechaisim shibeksusa, now with an emblem on its beged. Lo bezug shetzavaroi, now with a bell around its neck. Lo bezug shibeksusa, now with a bell on its beged. And furthermore, v'zevaze emekam tumma. All the bells of an animal are not susceptible to tumma." For as we explained before, the animal doesn't wear tachshit, an animal doesn't wear jewelry, so that's why it's not a keli, and that's why it's not makabel tuma. Ask the Gemara, is that so? The zug de behema ain't makabel tuma. Is that truly a fact that the bell of an animal is not susceptible to tuma? For minu, I'll ask you a question. It says zug sha behema tumeya. The bell of an animal is susceptible to tuma. So right away we have the kasha. We'll talk about it more in a moment. Now, b'shodelis, what about a bell on a door? The bell on a door is tahira. It's not makabel tuma. Why is it not makabel tuma? Very simple. Because since the door is mechubal karka. The door is connected to the house, which is connected to the ground. And the halach is that anything that's mechubal karka is not mekabel tumah, is not susceptible to tumah. What about shadelis? Originally, this bell was made to be on your door. Vasa lebehema. Now you decide to use that bell for an animal. The halach is tumah. And as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, as soon as I decide to use it for an animal, even though I didn't do anything, I just had that decision, that is enough to make it into an animal bell, which is susceptible to tumah. How about shabahema? What happens if you had a bell that you're using for an animal? Vos ladelis. And now you decided that you want to put it on your door. The halacha is, afa pisha chibra ladelis. Even if you actually connect it to the door, the kovah b'mesmarim, and you even nailed it into the door, it's still mekabel tumah. Why? Because you didn't do anything physical to change it. And since it was originally susceptible to tumah, something which is originally susceptible to tumah, to lose that status of susceptibility to tumah, you have to do something physical to change it. Just making a decision is inadequate. Because the halach is, shekala kalim, or kalim which were not susceptible to tumah, Yordan l'day tumas ha-machshava, could become susceptible to tumah just with a machshava. That's why a bell that was being used for the door, as soon as I decided that I'm using it for the behema, it's susceptible to tumah. However, vein oylem l'day tumasam, they don't lose that susceptibility el b'shoyne maisa, until you do something physical to the thing. And just using it and putting it on the door, even if you'll knock it into the door, that didn't change the actual bell. You didn't do anything to the bell, and that's why it retains the status of susceptibility to tumah until you actually do something to change it. There's a very interesting Tosfos on the bottom of Amud Aleph. The Tosfos really belongs here. Tosfos asks the question that the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin says that there a decision was reached and it was enough that it should not be susceptible to tumah. As Tosfos, so we just learned that you have to do a maisa, you have to do a physical change. So why does the Gemara Sanhedrin say that thinking is enough? So Tosfos has a very big chiddush, that over there, was talking in a case that we were magdish something, that we made it hegdish, that the halach is that making something hegdish, it becomes osur b'hanoah, and making something osur b'hanoah is like a shinui maisa, even though you didn't do anything physical to the article. The Masham use this Tosfos for a very interesting shaila. In our world, it wouldn't be so relevant, but it's interesting shaila. There were stones, there were bricks that were used for a bathroom. That you had ad houses, and these bricks were what were the walls of an outhouse. They needed the bricks now to build a shul. So to go use bricks for an outhouse for a shul is inappropriate. So you have to make a shinui maisa. You have to do something to the bricks. So the Marsham said, once you designated those bricks that you're going to use them for a shul, so the hegdish, the asav hano. Asav hano is like a shinui maisa, and you don't have to do anything more to the bricks. But back to our Gemara. We have a question here. We made a statement, the Brisa really made the statement, that the animal's bell is not susceptible to tumah. Yet here we just learned the Brisa that the animal bell is susceptible to tumah. So how do we deal with this? Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Hadi Islay Imbel, a bell that has a clapper in it is susceptible to tumah. Hadi Leslay Imbel, if it doesn't have a clapper, it's not susceptible to tumah. Ask the Gemara Manashach, I don't understand. Imanahu, if it's a keli, as we've always explained, that a keli is makabel tumah, so they have to be the lesbe envil. Even if it doesn't have a clapper, it shouldn't be susceptible to tumah. On the other hand, ilav manahu, you're going to tell me that a zug, that a bell, is not considered a keli, so the envil majbele mana, so the fact that you put a clapper into it, that's what makes it into a keli? Says the Gemara, in. Yes, the clapper is what makes the difference. Where do we see it? Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Dom Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Menayin l'mashmiya koya b'kli matchas. Where do we find that something that makes noise, that gives off a sound in a metal thing, shutamei, makes it susceptible to tumah? Shenamar, because it says a pasuk, kadavar shiyov be'esh, anything that's used with fire, Tavir Beish. So the truth is, Tosfos explains this Gemara very beautifully. This Pasuk is a pasuk that's talking about kashering. Over there they had the kli midyan, the kelim that they got from the goyim, that they had a kasher. And the pasuk over there is teaching us hilchos kashering. It's teaching us, which we know the basis of kashering is, that the way you got treif, kabbalah kach paltoi. The way you got treif, that's the way you purge it. So the pasuk says, kol davar shiyova beish, anything that comes in contact with fire, that's how it got treif. If you want to kasher it, tavir beish, you have to purge it with fire. Now there's a question. Why did the pasuk have to say davar? The pasuk could have said dibur, kol ashebeish, anything that's used with fire. Why did it say dibur? To teach us, a tefilu davar, even if it just gives off dibur, even if it just gives off sound, yovah beish. So Tosfos asks, that's a pasuk about kashering. We're talking about tumah tahara. So what are we learning tumah tahara from a pasuk about kashering? So the way to answer, Tosfos says, is like this. The word davar is an extra word. Because if all the pasuk was just trying to teach us was hilchos kashering, so it should have said kol davar ashebeish without the word davar. The Torah added the word davar, which teaches us about dibur, something that gives off sound. But giving off sound has no relevance to kashering, so I must apply it to tumah tahara. The Ritva takes it a step further, because says the pasuk afterwards says hu b'mei nida yischata. It should be purified with the main nida. So we see that the pasuk does have a relevance to tumah tahara, and that's why even though the main parasha, the main point of that parasha is kashering, we can still learn hilchos tumah tahara. So what are we learning now? What we're up to right now is something that makes a sound is more susceptible to tumah than something that doesn't. That's why our brice that we learned on Amud Aleph that said the bell of an animal is not susceptible to tumah is the one that doesn't have a clapper. The Brice on Amud Beis that says that it is susceptible to tumah is the one that has a clapper. But Mayakumta, so how did we identify the Brice on Amud Aleph? We explained B'delesle Imbel. They were talking about a bell without a clapper, and a bell without a clapper is not susceptible to tumah when it's by an animal. So the Gemara, very good. Let's continue learning the Brice. Emim Tziyosa, what was the second case of that Brice? It said in the Brice, a eved may not walk out wearing a bell around his neck. He may wear a bell on his garment. Furthermore, the Braisa said, both bells, whether it's around the neck or whether it's on his suit, are susceptible to tumah. Ask the Gemara. If we're talking here about a bell without a clapper, is the question, are they susceptible to tumah? So first of all, the question, because we just learned that a bell is susceptible to tumah, is only susceptible to tumah when it has a clapper. What are you going to tell me? That's the bell of an animal. But by a person, it makes no difference. Says the Gemara, I'll show you that even by a person, for it to be makabel tumah, it has to have a clapper. Where do I see it? Reminu. It says like this, Oysen zagel mechteshes. They used to make bells on the mortars. A mortar is, in Yiddish it's called a shteisel. That's the way they used to make medicine. They used to take herbs or whatever, and they used to pound them. And that's how they ground them up. Now, those that say kabbonis every know, in the Torah it says, shakol yofel psavim. Music, sound, that's what they used to say, hadev, because the sound makes the ground grind better. So what did they do? They didn't want to have to talk. They just put a little bell on the mortar, and every time they pounded, it made noise. So the halacha is, ha'oisa zagel mechteshes, somebody makes a bell for his mortar, or larisa, he makes a bell for his child's cradle, or lematachas farim, this was the first school bell. The rabbis used to carry the school books. What did they do? They used to put bells on the school books, and when they used to walk to the classroom, they used to hear the Rebbe coming because the school books were ringing, and they knew they better get into class. Ulmetachas tenakis, this was the first intercom system, where you want to know where your child was. They used to put a bell around the child's scarf, and like that, they heard this child where he was walking because the bell rang. Yeshlam imbel, but all these things we're talking about not animal bells. Here we're talking about human bells. Yet, what does the Braisa say? Yeshlam imbel, if they have a clapper, tameim. They're susceptible to mum. Englam imbo, tahirim. if they don't have a clapper, they are not mekabel tuma. One more halacha. What happens if you had a bell? And we're going to talk about this a lot tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. What happens, the halacha is, if it originally had you had a bell with a clapper, so it was mekabel tuma. Now nitlu in beilayim, the clapper was removed. The halacha is a dying tumas nalayim. They still are susceptible to tuma, and the Gemara is going to explain tomorrow a few reasons why. But what's the bottom line? Here we see that even by people, the only time a bell is mekabel tuma is if it has a clapper. Yet the Braisa was talking about a case of a human, of an Eved. The Braisa, we said, is talking about bells without clappers, because that's the only way we were able to explain the animal bell. And yet the Braisa says that the person, the Eved's bell, is Mekabel Tumah. Answers the Gemara. There are two types of bell. There's a bell that's made to make noise. Like we explained, the Rebbe is coming, where your child is, a cradle. Those need to have a clapper. Without a clapper, they're nothing. However, a bell also could be used for ornamentation. Sometimes you sew bells onto clothing, that's an ornamentation. There, the clapper is not required. There, the bell is mekabel tuma, even if it doesn't have a clapper. Hani mili, bitinik, a bell made by a Charles thing, del kalavidele, that it's made to give off noise. So without a clapper, there's no noise. Avagodl, bad about the bell of an adult. It's not made to noise. Nobody needs to know. Nobody's wearing a bell that you should know where I am. There, what's the purpose? Tachshit hu. It's being used as a tachshit. And therefore, afagav the lesvei imbal, even if it doesn't have a clapper, it's mekabel tuma. One vart from Chaim Briska. We're used to always learning that a keli, a utensil, is mekabel tuma. Something that's not a keli is not mekabel tuma. We had this already in this mesechta. Rav Chaim Briska takes from this Gemara, he says it's not just enough that it should be a keli. It has to be a keli with a use. It's a new addition. If you have something that has the identification, it looks like a keli, but it's not usable, that it's not a keli. That's why the bell has to have the clapper, or it has to be at least a noi. That should be an ornamentation. Just the fact that it looks like a keli will not make it susceptible to tumah.